In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was rather chaotic that first Easter day. Things had been kind of turned upside down the whole week. It had started with that wonderful entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem and the shouts of Hosanna and blessed is He. By Friday, the shouts had become, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" It was rather chaotic. And then we read how it was that because it was Passover time, that once He died on the cross, they had to hurry and get the body off the cross and get it into the grave because the Sabbath, the Passover Sabbath, was coming. And they took care of getting that done. And then Friday night, they all went home to celebrate Passover. Now, the disciples had already celebrated Passover. They had celebrated Passover the night before with Jesus in the upper room. And it was there in that night when Jesus was celebrating Passover with them that He turned the Passover into the Lord's Supper and said to them, "Take and eat. This is My body. Take and drink. This is My blood." Then came Saturday. The chaos had kind of let down. The crowds had dispersed. It was the Sabbath day, the Passover Sabbath day, and families were together, and it probably was pretty quiet on the streets in Jerusalem. And then came Sunday. And the rumor started to spread. The women had gone to the tomb, and they'd gone to the tomb to do what was proper. They'd gone to the tomb to anoint the body and prepare it for death and burial and to embalming. And they'd seen that it was empty. Mary had raced back to the disciples, to Peter and to John, and said, "He's gone, He's gone, the body's gone." What did that mean? So Peter and John raced to the tomb, and as it says in the first part of the Gospel of John was faster. Now, he was probably younger, too. John was faster, and he got there first. But he wasn't about to go in that tomb. But Peter comes barging into the tomb, and sure enough, John follows him, and Mary was right. The body is gone. The chaos was all created all over again, and now what's going to happen? So we know that the disciples go back, and as we read in our gospel lesson today, the disciples are gathered behind locked doors because they are afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, I would love to be a fly on the wall in that room with the disciples. What'd they talk about? They'd heard Mary's testimony. They'd heard Peter and John's testimony. That even though Jesus had three times before His death told the disciples that He was going to Jerusalem, He was going to be punished, He was going to be mocked, He was going to be whipped, He was going to die, but don't worry, I'll rise again. But who believes in a resurrection? I know Pastor Augie talked with you last week about how Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. But who is going to raise Jesus from the dead? They're behind locked doors for fear. And all of a sudden, there He is. All of a sudden, He's standing with them. "Take a look, boys. Take a look at My hands. Put your finger in My hands, boys. Stick your hand in My side, boys." And Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." Twice. He says to them, "Peace be with you." But they had a hard time believing, but once they had seen the hands and once they had seen the side, they rejoiced because, yes, he was alive. But Thomas wasn't there. And so during the week, and sometime during the week, they tell Thomas. And Thomas says, I don't believe it. Unless I can put my finger in the hand and put my hand in the side, I won't believe it. So the next Sunday, they're again behind locked doors for fear. And again, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. What did they talk about? They were trying to convince Thomas that Jesus was really alive, and Thomas was denying it. And all of a sudden, there he was, standing in the midst of them. Thomas, put your finger in my hand. Thomas, put your hand in my side. And Thomas shouts out, I don't know, I would think he would have shouted out. I'm not sure how he said it, but he says, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus says again to Thomas, peace be with you. The promise of peace to troubled men. And then Jesus says to Thomas, now Thomas, blessed are you because seeing me you believe. But more blessed are those who haven't seen me and still believe. You see, that's you. And that's you. And that's you. We are the ones who celebrate the joy of Easter and continue to celebrate the joy of Easter because we haven't had the joy or the privilege or the opportunity to put our finger in his hand or our hand in his side. But we believe. Because we believe the witnesses. We believe the disciples. Peace be with you, Jesus says. The promise of peace that comes in knowing a resurrected Jesus. The promise of peace in knowing the tomb is empty. And what joy that is. Peace be with you. What's going on in your life this week? Any chaos in your life this week? My, how we've had enough chaos the last 2 years to last us a lifetime. But what's been going on in your life? Jesus comes to us today in this room, in this place, and he says, peace be with you. Jesus knew we wouldn't have the opportunity to put our finger in his hands or our hand in his side. But before he died, Jesus had given to us the promise. And he says to us, as we come to the Lord's table for the Lord's Supper on our many Sundays, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. Given and shed for you, peace be with you. The promise of peace in a resurrected Christ. And we need to hear that because of the chaos in our life. Today, on this Sunday, it is Easter in the Ukraine. Today, on this Sunday, it is Easter in Russia. You see, ever since the split of the church into the Eastern and the Western Church, the Orthodox calendar and what we call the Catholic calendar or the Western calendar have not always been together. And Easter's not always celebrated at the same time. So we celebrated Easter last Sunday with a beautiful day like this. And flowers and songs and you had picture taking out on the patio and all of those wonderful things. Well, imagine what our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine are going through today as those Orthodox Christians celebrate Easter. How do you celebrate Easter when your town's been destroyed? How do you celebrate Easter when family and friends have died? You celebrate it because Christ is risen. He has risen indeed, and that's the peace that comes in the midst of chaos. The fact that brothers and sisters in Christ in the Ukraine, brothers and Christian brothers and sisters in Russia, Christian brothers and sisters in Ethiopia, which is another country torn apart by civil war, are all celebrating Easter today because they need to know that the tomb is empty. They need to be reminded that Christ comes in the midst of the chaos of our life and promises peace. Peace to you. Peace to them. We pray for peace, physical peace, for them. There's a new movie out. And the new movie that came out recently is called Father Stew. Father Stew is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful movie about Easter. Father Stew is the true story of a man named Stuart Long. Father Stew is a movie that was taken years and years to put together. It's a story of a man who wanted to be a prize fighter, but he never got beyond being an amateur, fighting for measly dollars. Father Stew, who, because he meets a girl, is introduced to Jesus and becomes an avid follower of Jesus. Such an avid follower of Jesus that his desire is to be a priest in the Catholic Church. And his commitment against all obstacles is to be a priest in the church. He undergoes all kinds of challenges, all kinds of trials, and I don't want to give away the story because I want you to see the movie. But he goes through all kinds of challenges and struggles, including terminal illness. But his goal is to be a priest for Jesus. And in the movie, Mark Wahlberg, who plays Father Stew, says this. In the midst of all of his suffering, in the midst of all of his chaos, he says, "My suffering is a gift from God. In this life, no matter how long it lasts, it's a momentary affliction preparing us for eternal joy. Peace be with you in the midst of the challenges." But that's not all the story in the text. There's one more part of the story that we have to remember, because Jesus does not only say, "Peace be with you," but then he says, "As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." In other words, Jesus says to his disciples, "Now that you have seen me, boys, get to work." The message of Jesus Christ risen from the dead can't be held behind locked doors. As we heard in the first lesson from Acts, this Christ, the risen Lord, can't be held behind jail bars as the disciples are set free. And as we heard in the Revelation reading, even though John is ostracized to the island of Patmos because he's preaching Jesus, the message of Jesus Christ, "Peace be with you," can't be held on an island away from everybody else. John has to write his seven letters. "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." I have a very good friend. He's a retired pastor, retired district president, as I was. quite a bit older than I am, in his mid-80s, tells the story about 2 years ago, year and a half ago, how he had a sleepless night. How he struggled all night long and couldn't sleep. Now, some of us know what that's like. We've had a few of those in our life. But he struggled all night long because he said, I just can't get over the fact that God sends his people into the world with the message of Jesus Christ, but we're not doing it. The churches are dying. We're not fulfilling what God has called us to do. So he, the next morning, gets up and he begins a biblical study. And in his biblical study, he finds in the New Testament 42 different passages where God sends. Like Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. 42 different passages in the New Testament where God sends his people into the world with what's called the mission of God. He identified those passages, and then he wrote letters to several of us who are retired pastors, retired district presidents, some of his friends. And 17 of us responded. And he gave to us, to each of us, two or three of those passages. And he said, I challenge you to write a devotion. Write a commentary and a devotion on this sending passage of God. He put them all together. And a few months ago, he published a book entitled The Great Sending, God's Heart for the World Beating Through You. It's a series of 42 brief devotions on 42 different passages from the New Testament with a lot of commentary and further explanation. And Dr. Will Zone, on his own initiative, after a sleepless night, provides for the church a book about God's sending. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. I'll leave this up here after church if you want to take a look at it. It's available. I don't know if it's available on Amazon yet, but it is available through our website. And the website is simply thegreatsending.org. We gave copies of all of this book at our district pastors conference last fall. And I think we're going to give copies to everybody who attends our district convention this June. But I encourage you to think about, maybe in a small group Bible study, maybe just in personal devotions, as an opening, if you're, like I mentioned to the elders this morning, as the opening of an elders' meeting, to use each of these devotions. As we take what Jesus said to the disciples and put it into practice in our own lives. I'm sorry to say, you're not done with chaos in your life. It's kind of peaceful this morning, a beautiful day. But remember the promise of Jesus to the disciples. He came to them in their chaos. He comes to the people of Ukraine and Russia in their chaos. He comes to us in our chaos with that promise. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. God, give us the boldness and the courage to go. For your word can't be held in a building. Your word can't even be held in our homes. For we are sent with the peace of God into the world. Amen.